You may be seated. I took the liberty to ask my wife. I said, do you think they'd mind seeing my suspenders? I took the liberty of taking my coat off. It is an honor, and I mean that in every sense of the word, to be here today. Not only with your great pastor and his wife and his family, but with you, his church family. It has been a great privilege to be in their home. And she fed us. I ate just enough, and then she brought out dessert and I had to eat some more. So I went just a little tad over what I should have eaten, but I sure did enjoy it. And we've enjoyed ourselves. I can honestly say, if he reaps what he sowed, you are a fantastic group of saints, because his family was just the best saints you could ask for. And I appreciated them during some of the worst times and the best of times. They were always there and always faithful. And he deserves the same from his congregation, and I believe you do it. To Brother Paul, Brother Chris, I've known Brother Chris all of his life, Brother Paul most of his life, and privileged to see the young ladies they chose to marry and be a part of that, and it's just a great privilege. And I'll never forget, we had a funeral at the church, and some of the relatives of the person that died were kind of, or thought they were, uppity. And they thought, since we were apostolics, we would have jump for the instruments. And we would be back hicks and everything else. And so they were going to have this lady's granddaughter play the piano. So they disassembled a grand piano and brought it to our church and reassembled it so that she could play it. And when she got up on our platform, she looked at our piano and she says, well, my goodness, this is the top of the line. Why in the world did they disassemble one to bring in? She said, who plays your piano? I said, Matthew Brownie. She says, oh, my God, is he going to be here? I said, yeah. She says, oh, no. I said, I go out to LMC and him, and said, he's and I don't forgot the other guy's name. I said, they the two best organ players there is in Bering County. She says, and I got to play in front of him. And I thought, that's just like God. You come in here thinking you uppity, and we got better than what the world has. Amen. And I'm so glad to have my wife with me. I can honestly say that without her, I'm almost positive I wouldn't be in church today, much less doing what I'm doing. And I appreciate her. I want her to testify real quick. I'm not going to preach real long. At least I don't intend to. If you'd testify today, amen.
Why are you even serving him? Look at, he's deserted you. You're out here and
I don't want to belabor the point, but I just want to say they made pastoring so much easier, and I thank them for that. Amen. It's an honor to be here. I tell my wife all the time, you deserve all the accolades you can get. I'm just along for the ride. And I always wonder why, and I'm serious when I say this, why in the world would anybody go out of their way and do what they have done for us? I'm just me, and I don't really understand those things. I don't know if you have made my message today moot or if you've reinforced it. We'll find out. Because I want to go to John chapter number 4. The genesis of this message came... I sat down and put on YouTube and went to the Gaither Hour. Anybody listen to the Gaither Hour? You know, the Gospel Hour. I went to there, and on that program, they had the Booth Brothers. Now, I went to see the Booth Brothers in person down at Mishawaka. I really think their harmony is fantastic. But they were not singing what I would consider necessarily a gospel song, and it kind of surprised me. They sang a song that was written by Hank Williams in 1953, which I was alive then, but just barely. And at that time, anybody here know who Hank Williams is? I don't know. He was the most popular country music singer in the world at that time. Was very, very famous, was in great demand, filled auditoriums, ticket prices for those days were very high, and just was known throughout the United States and around the world. And he sat down and wrote this song that I'm going to preach about today. And I'm going to read from John chapter 4, verses 19 through 24. It says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Amen. And we pray the blessing of the Lord upon the word. You may be seated. And I want to speak today about a lonesome God. A lonesome God. I listened to that song, and my wife can tell you I've played it over and over and over. I said, when you listen to it, it'll bring a tear to a glass eye. It's a very haunting sound. And it is called, this one's brand new. This one's brand new. Thank you. That one isn't. This one is. And the words start out like this. Can you hear that lonesome whippoorwill? It sounds too blue to fly. The midnight train is winding low, and I'm so lonesome I could cry. And then he wrote a second verse that nobody ever sings but him, but he goes to the third verse, and so I don't know the second verse. He goes to the second verse, and he began to pen. Now, this was a man that was surrounded by an entourage. Everywhere he went, he was thronged. He was in demand. He couldn't go to eat any place and not be recognized. He was surrounded by adoring fans, and yet he sat down and wrote, "I'm so lonesome I could cry." And it's been sung by every major country western singer, Kenny Rogers, Dolly Parton, Vince Gill. All of these have sung this song at some point in their career, because it's so very popular, even though it's old. Elvis Presley made it a big hit. And And all of these guys wrote these songs. And he said, I'm surrounded by people, and I'm surrounded by what everybody thinks are adoring fans, but I'm so lonesome I could cry. He said, have you ever seen a robin cry when the leaves begin to die? Seems he's lost his will to live. I'm so lonesome I could cry. The silence of a falling star lights up the purple sky. And as I wonder where you are, I'm so lonesome I could cry. There was something in him that looked at it and said, I know I am surrounded by people, and the girls go crazy. You know how they do at all these concerts. Ah! And they throw everything at him. And the guys, they're out there, and they try to imitate their hairstyles, and they try to do all these things. But he said, in the midst of being surrounded by all of these seeming adoring fans, I feel like I'm all by myself. I am so lonesome. There's nobody that I feel really loves me. There's nobody I feel really cares for who I am. They like the star status that I have. They like the celebrity status that I have. And they want to have their picture taken with me so they can say, hey, I know Hank Williams, but I don't feel like there's anybody out there that really cares about who I am. And so Hank Williams, at the young age of 29, died from a drug overdose in the back seat of a car on his way to another concert. And the driver didn't even know he was dead until he stopped at the concert place and checked on him and found him in the back seat in his own vomit, dead from a drug overdose. He was so lonesome, though he was surrounded. And there was a time whenever God came, he said, I'm seeking somebody to worship me in spirit and in truth. We sometimes wonder, why did God create the heavens and the earth? Because he doesn't really need it. But I believe that there was a time when God was so lonesome that he looked at it and said, I'm going to create the heavens and the earth. And he did all of that, and he said, and it was good. And he said, that's great. And we already heard reference today that if we hold our peace, the rocks and the mountains will cry out. And all of creation began to give praise to God. And the evening stars sang together, and you can say that's angels, or you can actually say it's stars, whichever one you want, but they all gave obeisance and honor to God. But God listened to all of creation as they worshiped him, and he said, that's wonderful, and I appreciate it, but I don't feel like that they really, really love me for who I am. I'm so lonesome. I think I'll do something else. And so he made man in his own image, and he put man in the garden, and he walked with him in the cool of the day, and he said, all right, I think I finally found somebody who loves me for who I am. But he found out that Adam loved Eve more than he loved God. And God looked at Adam and Eve, and he said, I appreciate the adoration you give me, but I'm still lonesome because I found out that you'd rather have the tree's fruit than you would have the fellowship with me. And I'm so lonesome I could cry. And so he called out Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm going to make you the father of the faithful. And Abraham walked with God, and Abraham loved God. He even offered his only son Isaac up to God. And the angel of the Lord said, now I know. But there was still something in it that Abraham just couldn't quite do, because there was really no truth. He just walked by faith. He didn't really have any truth. And he walked by what he felt, but he didn't know the truth, because it hadn't been fully revealed yet. And God said, I'm still lonesome. I'm looking for somebody that will worship me in spirit and in truth. I want to get those two married together. I want people to understand why they're worshiping me, not just on the emotion. I'm glad that you feel great. I'm glad that you get excited when the music begins to play. I'm glad you get excited when the words are expressed. My hallelujah belongs to you. But I want somebody that will marry truth and spirit together. I want somebody to understand that there's more to this thing than just what I feel. There is a word of God that must be obeyed as well. And though Abraham did all of those things, God said, I'm still so lonesome, I think I'll cry. And so he went on and he found David. And you know David was a worshiper. Oh man, he would bring the ark in, and he'd go six paces and he'd stop and he'd say, slay the oxen. And he would stop and the band would begin to play. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might. And God looked down and said, hey, I found somebody, a man after my own heart. And he worshiped him in spirit. But David still didn't have the truth that would set men totally free. And God said, I'm still a little bit lonesome. I think I'll write a song, I'm so lonesome I could cry. And so he left David and went on down through the years, and finally he came to the day of Pentecost. He had walked on this earth for 3.5 years, and he told them, he said, I must go away, else the Comforter cannot come, but the Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he's going to come, and he's going to lead you and guide you into all truth. He said, I finally am going to do something. And it says in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all together in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. I'm here to tell you, God looked at it and said, hey, I think I found what I've been looking for. And then he said, hey, they finally married spirit and in truth, because they begin to act like drunk men and they begin to noise it abroad through the streets. And God looked at heaven and said, hey, I'm going to wipe my tears away. I'm not so lonesome anymore. I found a group of people. That's why Peter said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. This is it, people. We have it. We have the thing that makes the heart of God glad. We have what God said is going to make me so excited, a group of people that will worship me in spirit and in truth. Amen. So allow me a little liberty right now to speak in human vernacular. I know God is not limited by time or space, and we really don't have the words to describe God, but just let me tell you how I kind of picture what God does on a Sunday morning, and maybe even other mornings. God gets up from he don't sleep nor slumber, but he gets up from, it does say he rested on the seventh day, so I guess he does rest. And he got up from his rest on this Sunday morning, and he said, I think I'm going to go looking for somebody that really loves me, not for what I do for them, but just because of who I am. And I think I'll go down to, and I'm just going to say the first church, and you put whatever you want into it. He said, I'm going down to the first church. And he walks in the door, and I know God's everywhere present, I understand that. But he walks through the back door of the first church, and he goes and sits on the pew. And he watches and they sing, my hallelujahs belong to you. And he says, my, there's no spirit here. He said, I wonder what they're going to preach about. And they get up and they preach and they say, except a man be born of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he says, that's right. That's truth. They say, you've got to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And they say, God says, all right, that's fine. And then when the preacher gets through preaching, he says, now let's all pat a cake for Jesus. And God says, I'm so lonesome. I heard truth, but I heard no spirit. There was no excitement. There was no vim, vigor, and vitality. They don't remember the words, the zeal of the house of the Lord had eaten me up. They don't know anything about that. So he leaves there and he goes to the second church. And boy, he can hear it out in the street before he ever gets to the back door. They are going, man. He can already feel the vibrations from the congregation as they are up and down and they're going. And he walks in and he says, man, I like what I feel. There's a great spirit here. They got to be after the spirit of David. And here they are. And man, they're worshiping and they're doing all this. And he says, okay, I'm going to stay and listen to the sermon. And he stays and he listens. And somebody asks the question. They say, hey, we like what we feel, Pastor. What do I do with this? And the pastor says, oh, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And God says, I'm not liking kind of what I'm feeling right now. And they said, is there anything else? He says, well, if you want to, you can get the Holy Ghost. But you don't have to get it if you don't want it, because it's an added blessing. And God says, that's not quite what I wanted to hear. Well, what else? But well, if you want to get baptized, and pastor's already alluded to that, it's baptism is an option if you want to do it, but it's just a symbol. It's really not necessary. And God said, I'm so lonesome. I wanted somebody to worship me in spirit and in truth. I wanted to be married together. Hallelujah. I'm surrounded by people who are saying hallelujah. I'm surrounded by adoring people who thank me for the blessings. But I want somebody that will stand and declare, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and him only thou shalt serve. I'm looking for somebody that will go to John and listen to what he saw, told Nicodemus, except a man be born again of the water and of the spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And I want those same people to do it with love in their heart and a fire in their bosom, because I'm seeking somebody to worship me in spirit and in truth. That's the reason why I said today, I'm not sure if you made my message moot or if you just confirmed it, because man, I have felt both of them here today. I heard your pastor preaching truth today, and I saw you worship in spirit, and I think God found that. But it doesn't stop there. I'm skipping a lot of stuff because, like I said, I'm not a long-winded preacher. I don't have enough energy anymore. My legs won't hold me up long enough for one thing. But God says, hey, I think I found a congregation, but let's take this to the individual. And he begins to walk up and down. Do you feel him in your pew? You kind of feel his presence where you're sitting? And he begins to look. And he says, the truth of the matter is more than just Jesus' name baptism. The truth of the matter is more than just receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, I walked in here and I watched and I listened and I loved the worship. But as I examined their heart, I realized that there are those who have not forgiven their brother. And the scripture says, if you won't forgive others, then God won't forgive you. And he says, and I'm looking and I'm hoping that you'll go beyond the emotion of the moment. I'm glad you feel his presence. But the Bible says you must forgive. The Bible says you've got to have a forgiving heart. And he's looking for that. That's truth. He wants you to be married with your emotion. And then he looks across the aisle and he sees another one. And he says, hey, I'm glad that you had your hands in the air worshiping. I was glad to see you dance. I was glad to see the smile on your face. But I see something in your heart that's not quite right. I see that you have just a little bit of envy in your heart. And you've got to get rid of that. I'm looking for somebody today. I'm looking for somebody that'll worship me in spirit and in truth. I'm looking for somebody that'll say there will be no secret chambers in my life that I will not yield to God, because I want somebody that'll go beyond the emotion of the moment and will worship me in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then he says, going to take another trip, 1, 2, 3, 4 aisles. We got here four sections, and he goes over. I think I'm over here to this section now. The other two was for y'all, I guess. And I'm over here in this section. He says, wait a minute. I see somebody in there. They're just not quite submitted. They hear what the pastor has to say and what he has to teach, but they say, that's not how I see it, so I'm not going to do it that way. I'm going to go my own way. I know I'm meddling a little bit, but God gave me this sermon. Amen. God gave it to me, and I told my wife, I don't know. I really don't know. And I kind of told Sister Angie and them was there, and Brother Paul and Brother Craig, I kind of told them last night some of what I was going to preach. But God says, I see just a little bit of stubbornness and rebellion in somebody's heart. Oh, it's not overt. They're not going to stand up and get in the pastor's face. They're just not going to do what he asked them to do. They're just going to look at it and say, well, I don't think that's necessary, so I'm just not going to do that. And God says, I'm so lonesome. I can cry. I'm surrounded by all of creation, and I have a whole group of people that is doing their best to worship. But he said, I still don't have what I'm wanting out of individuals. I want them to worship me with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, with all of their strength. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. I wonder today, is there anybody here that wants to take away the loneliness from the heart of God and turn loose of everything that's in your life and say, God, I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender all to him. I freely give. I wonder, is God happy today? Is he smiling today? Because he finally had the emptiness in his heart removed, because he found a group of people that worshiped him in spirit and in truth. And I guess I got one more for this section. Forgive me, I'm not hemming anything, because I don't know. Well, I do know a lot of people in this section. So I guess Brother Chris is like to be enough. I pick on him. I've known him since he was born. Amen. I think that's the only one out there I've known since they were born. But he looks at it and he says, I see that they worship, and I see that they are here and they're faithful, and they try to do what the pastor says, but I detect in their spirit just a little bit of something that's not quite right, and I'm still a little lonely because they haven't surrendered everything. And then it's like what they said, Lord, like the rich man that we talk about said, Lord, I've done all these things since my youth. What do I lack? And Jesus looked at him and said, sell all that thou hast and give to the poor and come and follow me. And God looks at it and says, there's somebody here that doesn't really want to follow me where I will lead them. I really don't want to go where they want me to go. I really don't want to turn loose of what I have. I want my goals. I want my ambitions. I don't want what God has called me to do. I don't want what God has asked me to do, whether it's in the church or whatever it is. I don't want to do that. I want my own way. I want to be a country music star. I want to be a football player. Let me tell you, all starting in football is good for us to have two messed up knees like what I have. And I wasn't a star, but I was dumb enough to try to play. And all you end up with is two bum knees and that you can't walk on by the time you get my age. And that's the reason why I have to sit, and I'm not used to doing that. But God's looking at it and said, I'm looking for somebody that will worship me in spirit and in truth. And if you'll just say, I surrender all, if you'll just follow me wherever I lead, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. I'll be what you want me to be. And then the heart of God looks at it and he says, angels, come off over here. I've heard you. You're around the throne saying, holy, holy, holy. Then you worship me. But that's not what I desire. He said, I finally came to Rehoboth and I found a group of people that's worshiping me in spirit and in truth. And I think I'll just stay right here. I think I'll just spend Sunday afternoon right here in this auditorium with this group of people, because I found a people that will worship me with everything they have and will yield everything they have and will lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset, and they will run with patience the race that is set before them, and they will look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross and despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of God and said, I'm not lonesome anymore. Because I found a group of people that will worship me in spirit and in truth. Somebody that will say, doesn't matter what the world says or what the world does, I give it all to Jesus. Everything I have and everything I ever hope to be, I owe it all to him. And so the famous writer wrote, if you could read my life story, between each line of pain and glory, you'd find that Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. Hallelujah. I feel it with everything there is within me today, that God is saying, hey, I found the majority here, and he's hoping that it becomes 100%. I found that the majority here will worship me in spirit and in truth. But I wonder today, if you would stand with me, I told you I wasn't going to preach real long. I just wonder, is there anybody here that God's talking to right now? And he's saying, I love the way that you're faithful. I love the way that you worship. But he's speaking to you about some little thing. It's probably not a big thing. It's probably something that most people wouldn't even object to, perhaps. But he's saying, there's just one thing in your life that you're holding back. And so we sing the song, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. I give it all to Jesus. All to Jesus I surrender. I wonder today if God is speaking to you about something in your life that you need to give up and turn loose. You need to turn over to him. Is there anybody that says, all right, God, you're going to find somebody today to worship you in spirit and in truth. My hands are going to be raised. My voice is going to be raised. My hallelujahs are going to go to you. My glory is going to you. Everything I have is going to you. And I'm going to remove the loneliness from the heart of God, because though he has elders around the throne that cease not day and night to praise him, he's still not turned on by them like he is by a human being that will worship him in spirit and in truth. And the hour is come, and now is right now. I wonder, is there any anybody that can give a raise of their voice and their hands to God in a sign, God, I'm going to worship you right now. With everything I have, I'm going to give it to God. I'm not going to withhold anything. I'm going to perfect the holiness that the pastor talked about this morning. I'm going to do those things that God asked me to do. I'm going to lay aside every weight. I'm going to lay aside. And I'm going to run with patience the race so that I can come to the end of my life and say, I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of life, and not for me only, but to all of them that love his appearing. I worship God today in spirit and in truth. And God's not going to leave here lonely. In fact, he's going to go with you Monday. And he's going to wake up in the morning. Again, I know God don't sleep nor slumber. But he's going to arise from his rest on Monday morning. and is going to say, hey, they're still with me. They're still with me. They're still worshiping in spirit and in truth. They didn't quit from Sunday to Monday. And he's going to get up Tuesday from his rest. And he's going to say, hey, they're still with me. They're still with me. Come on. They're still with me. I surrender all to you. I give it all. Is there anybody that will do that while they come and sing? Hallelujah. I lonesome God. A God that says, I'm looking for somebody in spirit and in truth.